Open your Bibles to Hosea chapter 12. The campers can go ahead and take their books and go to Thursday night preaching, and you'll have that verse in there, unless you want to find it. Hosea chapter 12, how to fight with God and win. Jacob wrestles with God. Hosea 12, and in verse 4, tell you, you've learned a lot this week from that God, the fact that God made you for a purpose. You've learned that God created you for in a specific way for a purpose. You've learned that you have a sin nature. You've learned that you neglect a lot of things in your walk with God. Today you learn that there's a lot of things that you need to get away from. And Brother Keith did a great job. And you may even realize that now, of all the things that are in your life that you need to get away from and stay away from. And quit running from God and run to God, as we were preached at. But if you stop there, you're going to lose. You've got to go farther. The same way that Jacob had to go from Bethel, he had to go to Peniel. He had to wrestle with God. I believe if he stopped just at Bethel, when he met with Esau, even though God would have delivered him there, I think Jacob would have never been the man that he finally came to be if he didn't go to Peniel and wrestle with God. So if you don't wrestle with God, if you don't get that right and humble yourself before the Lord, you're not going to get there. You can clean up your act, but until you get Jesus Christ in your heart, until you're fully persuaded that he is everything, and you're going to do his will, you've only come halfway there. You've got to go to Peniel. In Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us." Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed, Hosea tells us. He wept and made supplication unto him. He, God, found him, Jacob, in Bethel, and there he, God, spake with us. Hosea is talking about the whole nation of Israel. He spake with us because the whole nation of Israel was in the loins of Jacob. But you know what? The text is talking about Jacob wrestling with God. And he had power over the angel. He did prevail. But it's because he wept. It's because he made supplication unto God. It's because he came humbly before his God. He was broken. If you don't get there this week, you're not going to get all the way. You're not going to have power with God. You can learn everything else, but until God has first place in your heart, until you've humbled yourself before God, like Jacob did, you're not going to get there. That's what the prophet is telling us, that the prophet Hosea is telling us, that the truth is that Jacob wrestled with God and he won. At Peniel, it says, he calls it Peniel, says, "I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved." Jacob finally got it right. Jacob finally got it right. And I have one question. Have you? Have you got it right yet? There's a lot of things you've learned and a lot of decisions you've made, but have you wrestled with God and won yet? Because that's the final thing you need to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this verse. Thank you for the story of Jacob. And I pray, Lord, you'd help me because I don't feel like I'm up to the task. But Lord, I pray you would just use me, use your word. I pray the Holy Spirit of God speaks to each and every person here, Lord. I just pray we get a hold of this idea of wrestling with God and winning comes through humbling ourselves before God, being broken before God. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. God found Jacob at this place. Jacob names it Bethel, back there when he first spoke with him in chapter 28. And he speaks to Jacob and he tells him that he's going to be with him, he's going to bless him, and his seed after him. But Jacob has got to get to Peniel. If he doesn't get there, as I said, he's not ever going to get to Genesis 35. He's never going to change his garments. He's never going to be the man that God wanted him to be. And the same thing's going to be true with us. Look, there's other examples of those who have wrestled with God. One of your fill-ins there is the first one is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel wrestled with God. In the wilderness, they resisted the Holy One of Israel. That's what the Bible says. They wrestled through murmuring and complaining. God wasn't enough for them. They weren't satisfied with God's way. You better look in your heart and make sure you're satisfied with God's way. God does not like murmuring and complaining. And we all find ourselves there, don't we? That means we're not satisfied with God. So I need to check your heart. I need to check my heart. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I want to be satisfied with God's way, God's provision in my life. The nation of Israel wrestled with God and they lost. Everyone under over 20 years of age died in the wilderness. The next one is Pharaoh. Your fill-in is Pharaoh. By his hard heart, he thought himself greater than Almighty God. He finally was taught a hard lesson, wasn't he? He lost his firstborn son. The clay cannot resist the potter, can it? He's the potter, and we're the clay. We do what he says. We yield to him and let him mold our lives. You got to get this stuff down in your heart. This is what changed Jacob, and this is what's going to change you. All that knowledge up here and all the things that you know are not going to be enough until you get them down in your heart and you resign yourself to do God's will. The third thing there, the third person was Paul, is your fill-in. Paul, he threatened Christians, he imprisoned Christians, he slaughtered Christians. Acts 9:4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Whose voice was that? Jesus Christ. It was the voice of Jesus Christ. When Paul persecuted the disciples of the Lord, he was persecuting Jesus himself. Jesus is the one that said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard to wrestle with me, Saul. And finally, Saul put up his hands and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You have to come to a point in your life where when you wrestle with God, you finally say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what's going to change you. Paul won because he submitted his life to the Lord. He got saved. Number four is us. The fill-in is us. When we resist the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will lose every time. Every time we make a decision without God, we're making the wrong decision. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I hope so. Because every decision that isn't made with God in our minds and our hearts is a wrong decision. It's not what God wants us to do. It may be good, but it's not God's will, or perfect will, should I say. You better learn that we need to have the Holy Spirit of God guiding our lives. If we struggle with God because we need Him desperately in our lives, then we will win. You need the Holy Spirit of God in your life. It's God's way or it's the wrong way. You can choose an easy way, and you can choose a religious way. But I'm telling you, you need to choose God's way. Because it's the only way that you're going to be able to please Him. It's the only way that you're finally going to get to a place where you're in the very will of God. What Jacob had to learn, and we do also, another fill in there, A, is the way up is down. The way up is down. It's all opposites with God, it seems like. If you want to be lifted up, you're going to have to humble yourself. That haughty spirit goes before the fall. Pride goeth before destruction. The only way up is down. That's the way it is with God. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do we not have a wonderful, great example of humility? Did God himself not clothe himself in flesh and come and make himself a servant? He humbled himself. It was an act of his own will to do that for us. And that's how we're going to be exalted in God's eyes. Let God lift us up, as if we'll humble ourselves and become a servant. Jesus showed us a great example. Exaltation comes before humility. Comes after humility, I'm sorry. Exaltation comes after humility. In verse 9 it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Exaltation comes after humility. Jesus taught us a wonderful lesson. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Matthew 23:12 says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Jesus is the one that washed their feet. He's the one that gave them the example. He's the one that served others. He's the one that was obedient to the cross. He's the one that died in our place. He's the Lord God of heaven. And he humbled himself. And he's highly exalted now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, saved and unsaved. Every knee. Your fill-in for C is you must lose your life to gain it. Matthew 16:25 talks about denying yourself and you will gain Christ. You must deny yourself. D, the fill-in is it is through giving we receive. We think we have to get, but we have to give. And God gives back to us 30, 60, 100-fold. It's just the opposite with God. Acts 20:35 says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Your fill-in for E is the first or last, and F is the last or first. Different, isn't it? Just the opposite. If your attitude of your heart is, I always want to be first, I always want to be in the lead, I always want all the attention, that's an attitude that God says you're going to be last. Don't shoot for first. Shoot for serving others. Have an attitude in your heart is, I just want to help somebody else. And if I'm last in line, God's going to put you first in the kingdom. We just need to have the right attitude in our heart. Forsake all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Give everything up for him. Give him your life. Give him your heart. Come to him needy and dependent. And he'll fill you. Matthew 19:30 says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It's always about me. When it should be about him, you see? It's all about him. How can I serve the Lord? Maybe it's by just teaching the kids, doing a devotion, doing the games with them, preaching to them, pulling up alongside of them, and just putting this whole thing together. It's serving the Lord. Matthew 18:4 says, whosoever shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What's that little boy's name? Remy? Come on. Come here a minute, please. Stand right here. You see this little guy here? He can't buy his clothes. He don't have no money. Do you have any money? No, he doesn't. He can't drive himself around. He didn't buy his house that he lives in. without his mom and dad, somebody providing for him, he's not going to eat. He needs somebody to take care of him. Hey, I'm able to drive myself around. I can feed myself. Right, Kat? But I mean, there's a lot of things I can do for myself. If I think that way about God, it's only going to take me away from God, not draw me close to him. Jesus said you got to come like a little child. How's a little child come? Needy, dependent. Mom, where's the food? Where's breakfast? My clothes, my sneakers got a hole in them. My clothes, I need new clothes. And mom and dad take care of that. You have to come as a little child. Right, Remy? Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, Deuteronomy chapter 6, just for the sake of time. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. God told Israel, you're going to come into a land, the vineyards you didn't plant, the houses you didn't build, and all this good stuff is going to be there. Don't you forget God. That's right. Teenagers, we forget God. Every one of us here forgets God. Gave us everything. He gave, who was it? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, he told him, the very breath in your lungs I gave you, and you did not glorify God. And the writing was on the wall. Because he didn't glorify God. Be careful you don't forget God. Because everything you have, God gave it to you. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The question is, how much do you need God? So you have to look in your own heart and answer yourself truthfully, how much do I need God? Because the answer will determine where you're at and where you're going. How much do I need God? Turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, and in verse 24, Genesis 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. This is Jacob's story. And I'm telling you, if Jacob never got to this point, Jacob would have never got to Genesis 35, would have never changed his garments. He couldn't stop there where he was blessed of God, really, and delivered of his brother Esau there earlier in the chapter. I believe Jacob had to come to Peniel. He had to be broken by God. Now, your first fill-in there is, under the ultimate lesson is, it says, all of me, and the fill-in is none of thee. All of me, none of thee. That's Jacob's problem. It's all about Jacob. He's not saved. He may have had a religious experience, and maybe some of you have had a religious experience, but it's all about you. And God's not even in your thoughts. You're not even caring about God. You've been left alone many times in your own trials and troubles and thoughts, but you're trying to figure it all out like Jacob. He's going to meet his brother, whom he wronged, and he's going to meet the consequences. But it's all about Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28, look in Genesis chapter 28, and in verse 19, it says, "And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God.'" I don't know about you, but I don't see Jacob submitting himself to God. I see him putting conditions on God. If the saint came to Jesus in Luke 9 and said, "Lord, we'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And he said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And they came up with other things. Let me go bury my father. Let me first go say goodbye to those at my house. That's not discipleship. You don't put conditions on following God. Jacob says, "If God will be with me." He should have said, "God, I know you'll be with me. And I'll do whatever you tell me to do," because God always keeps his promises. And then he says, "So that I come again," in verse 21, "to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." He is your God. Don't put conditions. See, it's still all about Jacob and what he could get. A stealing, lying, conniving. He even makes vows, but there's conditions on them. Hey, sound familiar? What you do with your mom and dad and what you do with God, you put conditions on following God? Are you ready to follow God completely? I mean, have you given God all of your heart? Or is it, it's all about you? It's all of me, and it's none of thee. That's where Jacob was at. Number two is, the filling is more of me. More of me, little of thee. A lot of us find our place there. This is where we're at right now. We go to church on Sunday. The rest of the time, it's all about me. More me, just a little bit of you, Lord. I'm going to give you Sunday. And that's it, Sunday morning. This is the way the sports stars are today. Did you ever see them? When they score a touchdown, I mean, over in the States, they play American football. And they get in the end zone and they go, you think God's in their thoughts? It's all about them. They pound on their chest and they point up. You know what that is? That's more me. Little thee. Where are you at? Do you have just a little bit of God? A little bit during the week? You give God maybe a little Bible reading? Maybe a 1 minute prayer? Or maybe it's just Sunday morning? Jacob prayed for deliverance in Genesis 32, verse 11. Look at Genesis 32, verse 11. Look what he says. He says, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother with the children." And he goes on in his prayer. And I believe, like Keith, I believe he's starting to get it, but he ain't there. I don't believe he's there. That's why he had to get to Peniel. He's not broken. I'll tell you, look at this prayer. "Deliver me." Where's all his thoughts? It's on me. It's on Jacob. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, and he will come and smite me." Oh yeah, and the mother of my children too. All Jacob is thinking about is himself. But there's a little bit of God starting to creep in. Jacob's still trying to fix things his way. He's living and relying on himself. And we're doing the same thing. Pay attention. You're doing the same thing. You're still relying on yourself. You're making your own plans. You're making them even as we sit here. When you leave this place, you got your own plans. You're going to forget about God. You got a little bit of God this week. I'm telling you, it's not enough. And if you're not saved, you're going straight to hell. And if you're a Christian, you're going to ruin your life. Now sober up and think about this. Jacob is nowhere near where he needs to be. Look in verse 20. And say ye moreover, behold the servant, Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. I don't believe he's trusting God. He's trusting in a present. He's trying to appease Esau instead of just getting right with God and trusting in the Lord. Still trying to work it out. And maybe you're still trying to work it out. More of me, little of thee. Number three is some of me, some of thee. Half and half. All right? Now it's some of me and some of thee. This is good because this is where most of you are. Most of us wind up right here. Look in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. You know what this is? This is a hypocrite. Just putting on a face, putting on an act, putting on a show. Trying to walk the line. One foot's in the world, one foot's in the church. Trying to have it both ways. Jacob wrestles with a man all night. And you're always going to fight. The hypocrite's always got a fight, always got a problem, because they're trying to balance the world and the church and Jesus Christ. And you can't do it. You can't serve two masters. You know what you need to do? You need to get real. Take the mask off, because you ain't fooling anybody. The Bible says to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You're not fooling anybody. God's certainly not fooled by it. This is where most of us find ourselves. Jacob doesn't give up. He keeps on struggling. He's relentless. Think of the times and places and decisions you were left alone and you struggled with God. But it was just some of me and some of thee. We always wrestle with God's truth. Maybe you're wrestling with God's way for your life, God's will for your life. Because he has power over us. We don't like it. How many times have you thought, I can do some of what I want, and then I can do some of what God wants, and everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. My parents are happy. The pastor's happy. And I'm happy. Did I say that? And I'm happy too. You see? Little bit of God, little bit of me. Some of me, some of thee. It's good, right? No. That's not good. You're a Jacob. You're refusing to give everything to the Lord. You haven't given it all over. In fact, this is what a lukewarm Christian tastes like. A little bit of me, a little bit of the world. You're a hypocrite. You got to go to a little farther here. Number four is, little of me and more of thee. Little of me and more of thee. You see in verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He finally got broken. He's been wrestling with God. He's been wrestling with God. He's been relentless. And finally the angel touches the hollow of his thigh and takes his strength away. And he's humbled. And God can do the same thing with you. Humble you. Break you. We fight to the end, though. We keep fighting and fighting to hold on to our pet sins and the things that we want to do. But God has to break you. You have to be humbled. Maybe you won't give up your music. You know what Pastor Hamilton preached, but you don't want to give up your music and your pet sins. God's going to have to break you. You don't want to give up the places that you go. You don't want to give up your old friends. But you're going to have to in order to get power with God and prevail. I've seen a lot of this.
prevailing.
You can't prevail until you go down, until you humble yourself. It's got to be all about God. Our strength is all but gone, but will not turn completely to God. You're just about there. It's a little bit left in you. And God's starting to get the upper hand. You're weakened, but you're still holding on. That's good. Number five is, none of me, all of thee is your fill-in. None of me, all of thee. You see that in verse 26? And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He finally said who he was. He finally came to a place of full surrender. And this is where he won with the Lord. When he finally surrendered completely, when he finally submitted to the will of God, when he finally just said, I can't do it anymore. And God said, what's your name? The angel said, what's your name? And he said, I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. I'm a liar. And I need you, God. And he humbled himself before God. Admit to God what you are. God already knows it. It's when we humble ourselves that now we get power with God because we want him. He is everything. No more Jacob. All of God. Jacob repents. I believe here is where Jacob repents and he has faith towards God. He finally draws faith and believes in God. What is thy name? It's the last hurdle that he has to jump before he wins, before he prevails. I know what I am, Lord, and I'm admitting it to you, and I need you, and I want your will for my life. None of me anymore, Lord. All of thee. That's what's going to change you. The victory followed utter helplessness. That's where the victory came. And his new name is Israel. Power with God. Prince with God. Jacob's limp was a constant reminder of the place and time he saw his problem, trusting in himself. And when he got power with God, that's when he put his faith in God. I don't know where you're at today. You fit in there somewhere. But this is where you have to get to, where it's none of you anymore, and it's all of God. You will be able to make the right decisions. You will have peace in your heart. You'll know exactly what God wants you to do if you'll just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, no more of me, all of you. That night came for me, that time came for me, when I had spent 32 maybe years working as a crane operator and a rigger, loving the Lord, yeah, serving the Lord, going on a mission trip. I mean, just doing everything in the church. I loved serving the Lord. But God had to break me. Kathy remembers, I'm sure. We were getting ready to go down to a friend's church in North Carolina. And as my habit was, I would get into my study and I'd pray. This day was different. I got in there and I knew, just felt like I got to just get alone here with God. I got to get down on the floor and I just want to talk to God. And God came in there. I'm telling you, God came in that room. I've never had another prayer like it. God was in that room. And I said, I was talking to God, Lord, do you want me to go to the mission field? Do you want me to be a missionary? Do you want me to go farther than just soul winning on Tuesday nights? Do you want me to go farther than just teaching a Sunday school class? Lord, and the tears were rolling out of my eyes. And I was just laying there on the floor and there was tears coming out of my eyes. And I just resigned myself and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I just realized it was none of me. It was all of thee. And I remember coming out of that room and Kathy seeing me, and it's like my countenance had changed. I'd met with God. Looking back, I don't compare myself with Moses. I'm just saying it just changed. My whole countenance was changed because I felt like I'd given it all to God now, no matter what he wanted. That's where you have to come to. Jacob had nothing left of himself, but he now had everything in God. None of me and all of thee. Listen, I'm not going to belabor this because you already know the decision you're going to make. You need to meet with God and you need to get a hold of God. You need to see your need for God and you need to trust in God. Learn what Jacob learned. All those different things, up is down. Exaltation comes after humility. You have to give to receive. But the ultimate lesson is it all of me and none of thee? Or is it more of me and little of thee? Maybe it's some of me and some of thee. Or it's little of me and more of thee. I really believe you got to come to the point where you just get on your knees before God and humble yourself and tell him you're going to give him your life. Amen. And it's none of you anymore. It's all about him. Amen? You know that hike to the top? I know it was a physical thing you were doing. You get to the top and you know, whew, I'm there. All I thought of was the prevailers. I prevailed. You know, victory. But with God, victory comes by just getting on your knees, saying, Lord, whatever you want from me, whatever you want from my life, it's not about me anymore. It's all about thee. Let's bow in prayer. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to ask you a question tonight, a couple questions actually. But your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Don't be looking around. Don't be looking around. I want to ask you if there's some here that maybe would make a decision. You already know in your heart. You'd make a decision and say, you know what? I'm ready to say none of me and all of thee, Lord. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. If you call me to be a missionary, I'm ready to listen, Lord. You're calling me to preach, I'm ready to listen, Lord. You're calling me just to serve in my church, I'm ready to listen, Lord, because I'm ready to just say, it's none of me, and it's all of thee. I want to ask you, if you've made that decision in your heart, don't take this lightly. If you made a decision in your heart that Jesus Christ is going to be everything, it's going to be all about him and none about me, and I'll do whatever he wants me to do, I'm ready to do his will. If you have made that decision in your heart, I don't want you to just raise your hand. I want you to stand up right in your seat. Stand up with your eyes closed. Stand up right where you're sitting if you've made that decision. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Just stand up. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You've made that decision. Amen. I'm going to ask one more question. Is there anybody here that doesn't know for sure? If they died right now, they don't know they'd go to heaven. They're not sure where they're going to spend eternity. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. If you don't know what it means to be born again, if you're not sure about heaven, would you raise your hand? I see one, two, three. All right, put your hands down. Everybody stand up. Bow, heads bowed, eyes closed, let's pray. Heavenly Father, those that have stood up have made a commitment to you. They haven't made it to me. They've made it to you. They've said they're willing, Father, to do whatever you tell them to do. Father, there was a pretty good amount of people standing up, Lord, and they have to do business with you. And I pray, Father, that they would just humble themselves, walk away from this camp ready to serve God in their local church, ready to go to their pastor and say, Pastor, I didn't make a light decision. I want to know how you can help me know God's will for my life. It's not about me anymore, Pastor. It's not about my friends. It's not about doing things halfway. Lord, I'm praying that you'll just get a hold of their heart and that they'll follow through on these commitments, Lord, that they're going to make. Father, thank you, Lord, for the example of Jacob. And Lord, I pray that you'd impress upon their hearts, Father, to follow through with these examples, these commitments that they've made. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be